Blog Talk Radio.
B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.
B-I-B-L-E, who we are, where we come from, where we're going. Thanks for listening to Trippy Toll Radio. I am Melissa Cantrola, and I'm your host. And we're going to get started with this song called Before the Throne God. It's by Go Fish, just like the song before.
Great high priest whose name is love, whoever
creation. Corruption.
You shall not surely die.
Catastrophe. Confusion. Christ.
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Cross. Consummation. The Bible is much more than simply a book containing interesting stories. It's a history book that reveals the major events of history that are foundational to the Bible's important messages. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis at AnswersRadio.com.
Oh,
That was Goldfish singing the song called Fruit of the Spirit. That's the last part of it. And at least we forget about that. And also, there is, before that, was Goldfish singing the song called Ten Commandment Boogie. And it's me, Melissa Cantrella, on Trippy Toll Radio. If you want to find out more about GoFish, you could go to their website, GoFishGuys.com, GoFishGuys.com. And next, what I got for you, changing it up, a song from, this is from Shylin, and this one's called All Consuming Fire, here on Trippy Toll Radio.
Come on. Look, God's wrath, we see it openly explained. So mindful of its gravity, this poetry is plain. A frightful catastrophe, his foes will be in pain. Stifle their anatomy and souls will be sustained. Recycled supernaturally and locally contained. The spiteful would be glad to see God's potency restrained. Noticeably profane, they're supposed to be ashamed. They joke like it's a game, they're woefully deranged. Maniacal, they're actually opposed to Jesus' reign. His rightful mastery of the whole of his domain. Not tribal, but massively and globally ordained. He died to make us happily devoted to his fame. His rivals with their strategies, the prideful with their apathy. Their idols and their blasphemies will only see the flames. Denial of his majesty is totally insane. The title of his masterpiece is holy as his name. Yes, he's gonna burn it away. The holy furnace away. Eternal the day. Somebody come on.
There's only the mountains and rocks to be falling. Please don't refuse the one who's calling.
Yeah, he's calling you. He's warning you. What you gonna do? Somebody come on. Yeah. God's wrath is coming. God's wrath is coming. Christ is coming on the clouds. See the clouds running. God's wrath is coming. God's wrath is coming. Behold the Lamb in his might. In his sight is stunning. God's wrath is coming. God's wrath is coming. All the wicked will be punished at the final judgment. God's wrath is coming. God's wrath is coming. He's gonna vindicate his name at the second coming.
Things since you say you don't budge. You're faithful to save and you're faithful to judge. The God who was just became one of us. The faithful God is the God we can trust. We can't trust us, on you we rely. Everything we need, Lord, you will supply. Even when we're faithless, you remain faithful. You cannot deny yourself.
Determines fate, reverberates at urgent rates. The earth is shakes with fervent quakes. Imagine it, I can't explain the half of it. Our brains can't even fathom it, and language is inadequate. It characterizes the Lord on the throne. With spiritual eyes, the story is known. From him and through him and to him is everything. Show me the God of the glory alone.
Your name.
Once again, that is Glory to God. That's the name of the song. And you're listening to me, Melissa Cantrella, here on Truth Be Told Radio. This one is called Mercy and Grace.
Yes. Yeah. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Mercy and grace, commonly used words. Yeah. And if we're not careful, over time they lose their significance.
That's right.
But we should never fail to be amazed that God has revealed these glorious attributes to
us. Thank you, Lord.
Let's talk about it. Yeah. I gotta say this, God is gracious. That's not just a doctrine statement, but my heartfelt proclamation of a God who saves men without obligation from sin's domination and the bonds of Satan.
Yeah.
Nobody sins in moderation. That's obvious from our evil thoughts to our conversation. We were dead, we needed more than an operation. We had to be brought out the grave and made alive, awakened. It's quite amazing how in salvation, each person of the Trinity contributes like a compilation. The Father, he elected me, Jesus blessed for me, and regenerated. Regeneration is the Holy Spirit confirmation. So we repent of our abomination.
Yeah.
Consecration to the God who's exalted above the constellation. The observation of the congregation is God is gracious with a lot of patience, so we gotta praise him, yo.
We'll forever praise his mercy and grace. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. His mercy and grace. And Christ took the curse in our place. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. We'll forever praise his mercy and grace. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. His mercy and grace. And Christ took the curse in our place. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace.
Yeah. When I speak of God's mercy, I'm speaking of his tendency to tenderly express empathy towards his enemies. Whether it be mentally or outright offended, we effectively deserve hell for our enmity. Adam left a legacy of sin. Since we share in his pedigree, we therefore share in his destiny. If God didn't intervene, we'd all perish eventually. In his great mercy, he gave us the remedy. Priceless, sinlessly, then he paid the penalty. His assassination was public like John Kennedy. Rose on the third day, exalted to the heavenly. Repentance, you tend to be deleted from his memory. Gain a new identity, eternal serenity. Now it's clear we should volunteer like Tennessee to spread his fame endlessly. The message is essentially a merciful God send his son to set sinners free.
We'll forever praise his mercy and grace. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. His mercy and grace. And Christ took the curse in our place. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. We'll forever praise his mercy and grace. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. His mercy and grace. And Christ took the curse in our place. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace.
In mercy, Christ saw our wretched condition, but instead of giving us death for our sinning, in grace, his blood paid the debt that's infinite. Now resurrected with Christ and blessed because we're in him.
Mercy,
Christ turned the Father's anger.
Grace,
Christ earned us all his favor. And since Christ kept the precepts of the law, because of his perfection, we're accepted by God.
Yeah.
Real righteousness he gladly gives us. The Father happily lavishes this. Instead of filthy rags or dad's forgiveness, the ultimate story of rags to riches. His grace displayed in saving the worst man.
Behold,
God's riches of grace are a person.
Jesus.
Christ's a fountain abounding in his grace. Over my thousand and mountains of mistakes.
Hallelujah.
In pleasure, he's immeasurably gracious. Now we're seated with Jesus in the heavenly places.
Yeah.
Plus the Spirit's the strength that'll change him. He daily gives the grace of sanctification.
Amen.
Forever we'll praise the I Am. Who gave us grace in the Lamb before the ages began. So shout with that, resume the chorus. Cause of the cross, all his attributes are for us.
We'll forever praise his mercy and grace. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. His mercy and grace. And Christ took the curse in our place. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. We'll forever praise his mercy and grace. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. His mercy and grace. And Christ took the curse in our place. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace.
Yo, Tim, that was a banging verse, B.
Nah, remember, I'm a sinner saved by mercy.
What's mercy?
It's not getting what we deserve, cause Christ already suffered the judgment and curse.
Ah.
But Shy, yo, you blazed it, eh?
Praise God, I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Well, define grace.
Our redemption price immense.
Grace stands for God's riches
at Christ's expense.
Praise his mercy and grace, come on. Praise his mercy and grace.
Once again, that was Mercy and Grace by Shannon. And I want to say Happy Easter, also known as Resurrection Day, the day we celebrate when Easter, when Jesus came out of the tomb, resurrected. And what I'm going to do next is going to play one. This is from Shannon also, and it's called Penelope Judd. It's one of my favorites that he has.
Good morning, boys and girls. Okay, I need you to settle down now. Guess what? I have a story for you. It's about a little girl. You ready? Once upon a time, in a distant land, far beyond the sea, where there lived no man or woman. In fact, lo and behold, the oldest person there was only 12 years old, because all the grown-ups had washed away in a flood. One town in particular there was called Mud, because every sister, cousin, and brother, from head to toe in mud, they were covered. But anyway, in this town called Mud, there lived a little girl named Penelope Judd. Now, Penelope was a very sad, sad girl, because she was living in a bad, bad world, where kids teased each other and acted really mean. They lied, cheated, and stole, and their speech was obscene. With no grown-ups around, nobody was really wise, so every kid did what was right in their own eyes. Penelope would cry, like every single day. No matter what she did, the tears wouldn't go away. But deep down in her heart, she hoped it would get better, because of what her grandpa had written in the letter. He said,
Penelope, it's great news that I bring. On the mountaintop, there lives a great king. The king has a son, and being a proud father, he's gonna throw the prince a huge party in his honor. But the good part, and I hope it gets you excited, Penelope Judd, you're officially invited. He's sending a dog, he'll tell you all you need to know. Just have your bags packed and be ready to go.
It had been such a long time Penelope was waiting. She wondered if the letter was true or just faking. But one day she was playing outside, and to a great surprise, the dove had arrived. He said,
off we go, with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're gonna see the king, we're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away.
Your turn,
off
your turn.
We go, with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're gonna see the king, we're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away.
The dove told her that he was sent by the king. If she wanted to go, she had to run and grab her things. Penelope said, okay, I'll be right back. Ran into the house and came back out with her knapsack. The dove said,
Penelope, the party is in a day. Stay alert, follow me, and I'll lead the way.
So as he flew and Penelope walked the path, she waved goodbye to her friends and they started to laugh. They said that she was silly for following the dove, just to go to some stupid party up above. Penelope and the dove continue on their way, but then she got sad because part of her wanted to stay. But then she thought to herself, why would I want to stay? Because all they do is play in the mud all day. And while they're doing that, I'm going to see the king. It made Penelope so happy she started to sing. She said,
I go with no delay, and ain't nobody going to make me stay. I'm going to see the king, I'm on my way, and all the old things going to pass away.
Your turn. For a long time, they reached the foot of the mountain and they started to climb. Penelope got scared, not sure if she could keep going because the mountain was very, very steep. On top of that, it was now dark outside. The dove said,
keep your eyes on me, I'll be your guide.
Getting to the top was a difficult trip, but the dove was there to pick her up whenever she slipped. And she was so excited when they got near the top that she didn't even stop when her knapsack dropped. The dove led her to the palace and said,
farewell, see you inside.
He flew away, Penelope rang the bell. A huge angel answered, looked her up and down. She knew something was wrong because he had a big frown.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Yes, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation.
He said,
I'm so sorry. There's no way that I can let you through these doors. The king won't let anyone dirty up his floor.
She didn't understand, so without coming near her, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a mirror. And for the very first time, she saw that she was dirty. The palace was spotless. She knew she wasn't worthy. As the angel continued,
I'm sorry, little friend, but
a voice inside the party said,
you can let her in.
The next thing she knew, the
The prince himself was at the door. He looked at her, smiled, and said,
there's room for one more.
He reached out and touched her. Instantly she was clean, wearing the brightest robe that she had ever seen. If the mud kids had seen it, they would have gone blind. Where'd you get it? She asked. He said,
actually, it's mine.
And as he let her in through the palace door, he sang the sweetest song she ever heard before. He said,
long ago, laid aside my crown, became a mud kid, traveled to your town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around, but those who love me get to share my crown.
Your turn.
Long
your turn.
Ago, laid aside my crown, became a mud kid, traveled to our town.
Let me make this plain, kids. God is the greatest. He never changes. His ways are blameless. For his own glory and at different stages, he raises up servants to make his name famous. I highlight one particular servant for the purpose of encouraging your worship to the Lord. Furthermore, Charles Haddon Spurgeon was born on the outskirts of London, 1834. His dad and his grandpa were both in the ministry. His mother was praying for his soul since his infancy. Naturally intelligent, rapidly developing, but lacking Jesus' fellowship, that would be irrelevant. The God of his mother unknown. Though Christ was up in his home, the faith just wasn't his own. The Lord answered prayer when, at the age of 10, young Charles became convinced of the wages of sin. For the next 5 years, the Spirit brought conviction, terrors and affliction, aware of his condition. One Sunday morning, though the stormiest snow kept Charles from going in the church he'd normally go. Randomly stepped into a church, heard the words, look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. And though only heaven knows the name of the preacher, that's the day that Spurgeon became a believer. Believer, believer. So merciful, always so purposeful. Those whom he draws find his call irreversible. Immediately after Spurgeon's conversion, obediently, he was earnest to serve him. The Lord poured his Spirit on Spurgeon abundantly. Anyone could see that he spoke with profundity, extraordinary giftedness seen. Proclaiming God's mysteries at the age of 15 in a place called Water Beach, graced with the sort of speech that even made the old folks say, this boy can preach. In fact, he was so crafted after the master of Baptist Church snatched him and asked him to pastor. At the time, he was 17 years old, on fire for the King who redeemed his soul. People flocked from everywhere. It was quite a scene. Called to a church in London at the age of 19. He was more than ready to his Lord. He was dedicated, even though he was never formally educated. If you would have scratched him, he would plead Bible. A rich prayer life was his means of survival. Amount that he read was truly mind-blowing, steeped in the writings of dudes like John Owen. And by God's grace, he fed the sheep new manna. In London met his wife, her name was Susanna. Susanna, Susanna, Susanna. The grace of God stands to the side. The Spirit exalting the Lamb who has died. It can't be denied this man we describe was simply a tool in the hand of his God. To observe this servant, extremely instructive. One word about Spurgeon is he was productive. Preach Jesus, no speakers. Loudly he shouted. Each week packed houses of crowds in the thousands. His sermons were published, 62 volumes. He worked almost like he just knew he would die soon. Made mad disciples, passed on his knowledge. Established a school to train pastors in college, sold out to the Lord Jehovah his portion. Also, he built 2 homes for the orphans, a monthly magazine, plus he wasn't too busy to write books, about 150.
God's grace in Spurgeon was manifest. But remember, the best man is a man at best. Yes, he struggled with depression, consistently sick kid. Both he and Susanna physically afflicted. He experienced as a servant of Jesus the power of God made perfect in weakness. Later on comes complications. His stance for orthodoxy got him shunned by his denomination. But through all the hardships and all the controversy, he never stopped relying on the sovereign God of mercy. And when he had finished pressing towards the goal, he entered into heaven at the age of 57. His life is a case of God's grace effectively at work in sinners to leave a great legacy. The proof is many years later in your speakers. We're praising Jesus for raising up the Prince of Preachers.
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 That is a song called Spurgeon, and that's by Shylin. In a little bit, I'm going to play a presentation from John MacArthur called One Perfect Life, Jesus of Nazareth, but that will be in a little bit. And I want to remind you that today is Easter, and that is the day, well, the day we celebrate when Jesus resurrected. He's the only one that came from back to, he was God and came back from the dead. And, well, there's like Lazarus, but it's not, but he was the only one that didn't see, I think it says see corruption, like, he died, but, like, he didn't, like, rot his body. And that is what we're going to play in a little bit. Got to try to get uploaded first. Oh, and also thank you for listening to my show, Truth Be Told Radio. We're on Sundays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. And if you want to check us out on Facebook, we got a page on there, Truth Be Told Radio, and that's like one of the pages where you could like them. And also on Twitter, we're Truth Be Told Radio, but it's just the letter B. It's like Truth, the letter B, Told Radio, and because Twitter won't let us put the whole thing B-E, I guess it was too long. And also me, I'm on there, Twitter, BondServant4JC, BondServant, number 4, JC. And let's see. Okay, that thing that I was telling you about is ready, the recording. And this is John MacArthur doing a presentation of One Perfect Life, Jesus of Nazareth. Thanks for listening. Truth Be Told Radio.
This is John MacArthur. There is much joy in the hours, year after year, of being brought face to face with Jesus as he's revealed in Scripture. The end result is the best news the world has ever been given about the most significant life in all history, Jesus of Nazareth.
Welcome to this Palm Sunday special, One Perfect Life, Jesus of Nazareth, with pastor-teacher John MacArthur. With Scripture, word for word, from the four Gospels, you're about to come face to face with Jesus Christ. What you'll hear today is from that part of the Gospel narrative focusing on dramatic excerpts from Jesus' final week in this One Perfect Life. Here's John MacArthur.
Over the course of my ministry, I've spent decades studying, preaching, and writing commentaries on the four Gospels. This Holy Spirit-inspired quartet is the pinnacle of Scripture, because the Lord Jesus Christ is most perfectly revealed and God most clearly manifest. Because each writer emphasized different themes about Jesus' life, the four historical testimonies provide a powerful and profound composite picture of the Son of God and Son of Man. Each gospel is a record that can be harmonized with the others, down to the smallest detail. The Holy Spirit is the one divine author who inspired and guided the four writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, into all truth.
Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her, on which no one has sat. Loose them, and bring them to me. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them here." They brought the donkey and the colt to Jesus, laid their clothes on them, and they set Jesus on the colt. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Fear not, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." And a very great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples who went before and those who followed began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works which they had seen.
Hosanna to the Son of David!
And some of the Pharisees called to Jesus from the crowd,
"Teacher, rebuke your disciples."
"I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out."
Now, as Jesus drew near, he saw the city and wept over it.
It's a scene of Jesus' triumphal entry, isn't it? But his reaction seems almost inappropriate, except that it reveals Jesus knew the true superficiality of the people's hearts. His mood was anything but giddy as he rode into the city. The same crowd would soon cry for his death.
Jesus was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him.
"Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority to do these things?"
The writings of Matthew and John tell us that these leaders wanted to know what credentials this untrained, unrecognized, seemingly self-appointed rabbi claimed that would authorize him to do what he was doing. They'd seen and heard what's recorded earlier in Matthew of Jesus' miracles, too obvious and too numerous to be fraudulent. And now, confronted with his teaching with such force and clarity, it was obvious to all that there was authority in his words.
In the daytime, Jesus was teaching in the temple. But at night, he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. He said to his disciples,
"You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified."
The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted how they might take Jesus by trickery and put him to death. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray Jesus.
"What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?"
And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. Then came the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they killed the Passover lamb. And Jesus sent out two of his disciples, Peter and John.
"Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat. Go into the city, and when you have entered the city, a certain man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, my time is at hand. Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples at your house? And then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There, make ready for us.
So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them. They went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening, when the hour had come, Jesus came, sat down, and the 12 apostles with him.
With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.
In John 13, we're brought in the gospel narrative to the feast of Passover, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Foot washing was a necessity in a region as dusty and dirty as Jerusalem. The disciples would have been more than happy to wash Jesus' feet, but they couldn't conceive of washing each other's feet, an act reserved for the lowest of menial servants.
Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter.
Lord, are you washing my feet?
What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this.
Lord, you shall never wash my feet.
If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.
Then, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.
He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you.
For Jesus knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them,
"Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them."
When Jesus had said these things, as they sat and ate, he was troubled in spirit.
"Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. Behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table."
Then his disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke.
"Is it I? Lord,
it is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish, to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born."
Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered,
"Rabbi, is it I?"
"You have said it."
And having dipped the bread, Jesus gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon.
"What you do, do quickly."
But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night.
At this point, Judas has gone, and Jesus was alone with the remaining 11 disciples. Luke tells us a dispute broke out among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. It's very likely it's this continuing dispute that prompted Jesus to wash their feet. It reveals how large an issue this was in the minds of the disciples and how far they were from grasping all that Jesus had taught them.
With Judas gone, the final events in Jesus' last week were set in motion.
I will be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Lord, where are you going?
It was Peter asking Jesus.
Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward.
Lord, why can I not follow you now?
Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren.
Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. I will lay down my life for your sake.
Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me.
You're listening to a Palm Sunday presentation, One Perfect Life, with pastor-teacher John MacArthur. With the best news the world has ever been given, taken word for word from the four Gospels. Judas is gone and Jesus is alone with the faithful 11 disciples. He's about to transform the Passover of the Old Covenant into the Lord's Supper of the New Covenant, a new memorial feast to remember God's deliverance from sin.
And as they were eating, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks.
Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples.
Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them.
Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Assuredly, I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
This is John MacArthur. The world of the disciples was about to be shattered. They would be bewildered, confused, and ridden with anxiety because of the events that would soon transpire. Instead of the disciples lending support to Jesus, he anticipated their devastation in the hours before his cross, and he spoke comfort to their hearts.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him.
They would become witnesses to all the world through the power of the indwelling and infilling of the Holy Spirit, and would bring many to salvation because of the Comforter dwelling in them. The only way Jesus' disciples would be able to be used was through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he could not be sent as the Comforter until Jesus returned to the Father.
I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But with the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full.
Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven.
Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. Let your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him.
A great multitude with swords and clubs came, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus. Now his betrayer had given them a signal.
Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely.
Friend, why have you come? Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Whom are they seeking?
Jesus of Nazareth!
Jesus did not resist them. Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus.
You are under arrest.
Then bound him. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled.
The disciples found no comfort in Jesus' quiet resolve. Their faith collapsed as they realized he would not resist arrest and that they also might be captured. God himself foreordained the very minutest details of how Jesus would die. Dying was Christ's consummate act of submission to the Father's will. Jesus himself was in absolute control, yet not Jesus alone, but everyone around him, even his enemies, fulfilled precisely the details of the Old Testament prophecies.
Those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Now the chief priests and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and bore false witness against him.
I will destroy this temple of God made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.
But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent and answered nothing. They all condemned him. Then some began to spit in his face and to blindfold him and to beat him. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands.
Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you?
It was morning. The chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They came together and led Jesus into their council.
If you are the Christ, tell us.
If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God.
Are you then the Son of God?
You rightly say that I am.
And all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death.
And all Scripture bears witness.
When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten,
but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. For him who died for you. John said this about his gospel and the three that came before. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Paul says in Romans, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Father, we thank you for the promise that the one who purchased our salvation purchased it forever, and that we are safe in him. And the one to whom you gave us, your Son, as gifts, received us and keeps us and will one day raise us to eternal glory. We praise you for the reality of those promises. Amen.
One Perfect Life. Thank you for being with us for this Easter special with pastor, teacher, and author John MacArthur.
Like it is said, that is One Perfect Life, Jesus of Nazareth, and that was John MacArthur, and a dramatic presentation. It can be found on YouTube, so look that up. One Perfect Life, Jesus of Nazareth. And thank you for listening to Trippy Toll Radio. And also, if you want to see John MacArthur's website, it's Grace to You. It's at gty.org, gty.org. Thanks for listening to Melissa Cantrilla here on Trippy Toll Radio. And next, what I'm going to do is I am going to play something. Let's see if I get my studio back up. Okay, I'm going to play. This is Go Fish singing a song called Saved here on Trippy Toll Radio.
I have a Bible that I read. I know the truth and I believe. I go to church with my friends. I have a joy that never ends. Not because
union with Jesus Christ in his dying is the key to putting to death the deeds of the body. Our old self was crucified with him in order that something practical might flow from that glorious union with Christ in his dying. How do you get unified with Christ? Faith alone, apart from works of the law, unites you with Jesus so that he becomes your righteousness and your pardon and your death. So that something practical might succeed in your life, namely the putting to death of what is dead. That's Christianity.
Who can resurrect your soul? A smart man can't, but Christ will to conduct a heart transplant. I'm living proof of his spiritual maintenance. I'm now revering his patience, fearing his greatness. See, all believers have truly died ourselves. Cause when Christ died, we were crucified as well.
Okay.
So our old body of sin can be done away with. What a great gift, he's begun the facelift.
Yeah.
But just as Jesus rose from the dead, we too walk in the newness of life in union with Christ.
Amen.
In the past, my master was sin, an attractor my skin, but I no longer have to give in.
Yeah.
His word told me he changed me with his might, so I could be holy and blameless in his sight. I was first regarded as that turkey pardon, but I'm confident he'll finish the work he started modestly. In all honesty, Christ lived flawlessly. He's the motor, I'm his pottery. He set me apart from the sons of destruction. He's perfected my heart, it's under construction. Praise God, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise God, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Praise God, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Bless the Lord, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification.
Christ doesn't just save us for forgiveness of sins. He takes us to shape us into an image of him.
Yeah.
Christ fulfilled the law when we were doomed with Satan. So believers in his righteousness from imputation. Now there's no condemnation for his consecrated.
Amen.
I know the process stated seems complicated, but it's the Holy Spirit's keen medication. All by his washing and regeneration.
He takes worms and maggots and turns their habits. Someone cursed with madness, I now serve with gladness.
Come on.
Tell me, who else can take vessels of strife and then transform them into stencils of Christ?
Nobody.
Who else can take these random goons and then breathe life into abandoned tombs?
Yeah.
Christ came to die. His Christ claimed the sky. His grace will save, plus his might sanctifies. As his workmanship, my crew cares to please him. Dude, there's a reason, it's fruit-bearing season.
Okay.
We received the win, he gave his life for this. We've been freed from sin, we're slaves of righteousness.
Praise God, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle.
Praise God, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Bless the Lord, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Bless the Lord, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification.
Yeah. Through faith, everything that happens to Christ happened to me. I'm happy to see his majesty adapting me gradually. I'm fabric, he's weaving me into his kingdom tapestry. Imagine me spitting systematic theology practically. I'm asking the question that impacted me on a major level. How can a holy, righteous God save a rebel? The mystery is priceless. His decree is like this. Through Christ, he makes the wicked positionally righteous. No longer targets of his curses. He takes deceivers, makes them believers, and then sets them apart for his service.
Amen.
Not only just the reverend, we need to notice, brethren, the road that gets to heaven goes through Romans 6:11. Acknowledging as true what's already occurred. Christ died to send me to the Lord said in his word.
Right.
In Jesus we rest. We've been freed from the mess. By the Spirit we put to death the misdeeds of the flesh.
Spirit.
I know my place, that's why I write my name in lowercase. The more I grow in his grace,
uh-huh,
the more he shows me his face.
Yes.
I thank him and praise him through his work, and I get to have this. My sanctification is more certain than death and taxes.
Yes.
Praise God, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle.
Yes.
Praise the Lord, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Bless the Lord, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise God, if you're a saint that is saved, then we're being changed by his sanctification.
He bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
He bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
Don't that was Sanctification by Timothy Brindle, and he's also on mapmode.com. That's his record label. Thanks for listening to Chipotle Radio. And we're close to done, but still got some time left. So, gonna play this for you. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
This is the place, no?
Yes. This is it, thank you. Keep the change.
Thank you very much.
Oh, honey, I am so excited.
Oh, my.
We've waited and prayed so long for a child to love, and we're finally here.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the little guy.
Oh, honey, oh, so adorable.
Wow. Great.
Welcome, Mr. and Mrs. Thompson.
Thank you so much.
Children, not so loud.
What are they saying?
They want you to take them to be part of your family.
Oh.
Right now, roughly 34 million children from nations all around the world are waiting to be adopted by a loving family who will teach them about their Creator and Savior. Although some object to interracial adoption, the Bible teaches we're all members of the same race, the human race. Pray about how God would have you reach out to these hurting children in need. A message from Answers in Genesis at AnswersRadio.com.
Sings and
Truth Be Told Radio, and that was This Is My Father's World by Go Fish. And we'll do one more before we go. This one is by God's Servant, and it's called Look Ye Saints from the album Diadem here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Rise to always back from the mainland. Yo, it's the great I am, it's the slain lamb. Yo, take a clear view with biblical binoculars. Yo, it's the root of David, come see this conqueror. Yo, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah, iron ruler. He's the awesome king, the just and righteous doer. From the throne is coming lightning. Till the thunder rumbling from before the Lord God Almighty. Yo, you can see a sap to see as we admire Messiah, just like us in the days of King Uzziah. Yo, taking the building from the voices of the choir. The house was filled with smoke, it was dope how they cried out. Above them stood the seraphim and angelic how to love. With two wings fly, the others used to cover up. Screaming holy is the Lord, the whole earth is filled up with the glory that is yours.
Crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords, King of kings and Lord of lords.
the people, we are all here, giving our worship to the one that we all fear. You're looking here around the throne, this mass is shouting, numbering in myriads of myriads of thousands, from every creature in heaven, on and under the earth, all day and night, they never cease but celebrate his worth. And now I know this might surprise you, but the center of our anthem is how he's gathered up a people he has ransomed. How marvelous, the God that they had ran from, was filled his blood to pay for everything that they had done. Behold the riches he provides them with. He made the sinless one to be sin, so they could be his righteousness. The old earth is groaning, longing for its sequel, as it awaits the full redemption of the sheepfold. And he has rescued them from evil. He will be their God, and they will be his people.
Crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Yeah, look up, look and see the sight of glory, God, to see the man of sorrows now, from the fight return to glory, God. And every need of him abound. Yeah, look up, look, it's face the sight of glory, God. To see the man of sorrows down. And from the fight return to glory, God. Yeah, and every need of him abound.
The detestable and the wicked, the idolaters and the crooks, are thrown in the lake of fire if the names ain't in this book. But why this time they can be added if they only place they faith in the only other name under heaven given to save it, that of the crucified King of glory, who in all his judgments are unsearchable and ways cannot be scrutinized. Soon he's coming back, send your life to spread his fame and keep yourself in his love as you eagerly await him. Crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Well, that's just about it for Truth Be Told Radio. Mind you, check us out, truthbetoldradio.com. truthbetoldradio.com. There's a list when we do the songs of who we play there, the artists. So check that out. And we're going to go out as we came in. This is Go Fish singing the B-I-B-L-E and Happy Easter, Resurrection Day. And bye for now.
B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.